Today we are speaking to Michael Kovacs. Full disclosure, Mike is a college buddy of mine. I met Michael in 1996 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when we were both students at the Musicians Technical Institute. Don't bother looking it up. We outlived it. It has been closed down. It's an odd sensation to outlive your college. Mike has an interesting story involving his sister. Now, as we go through this story, we are going to throw a huge blanket of allegedly over top of everything. We are getting stories directly from Mike, but we're also getting stories from other people in this situation. Second thing to remember is Michael's sister is a nun. So it could be a confusing situation where we're talking about Sister Teresa, and Sister Teresa is Michael's sister, Teresa. So, Michael, thank you for joining us here today.
Oh, hi, Scott. Great. It's always has been and always will be a joy to talk to you. I can clarify if you want me to help you out.
Please.
Well, no, I think we may have spoken this before. There's a couple of, because everything is about the language, right? So going into this, is my sister, my eldest sister that I really never mentioned, is she technically a nun? I'm not sure. My research and theorizing, I believe she's actually let go from by the church because of her situation. This whole thing won't make sense, and I'll explain more why. If you use a terminology, because in the Catholic Church, I guess in other religions too, use the word of religious order, like sisters or like a religious order, right? That's the term. Group of people get together around certain values, around a certain faith system. And, you know, they got someone in charge and you all kind of have stuff to do, your teachers, you, whatever it is, you have a focal point, caring for the poor, caring for the poor. So now that's lovely. And there are thousands of wonderful organizations out there like that. The problem with this whole thing is if you use the word like religious order to describe this thing, it will make no sense. The word cult, it makes it, but I'm not saying that every religious order is a cult. I'm saying this one was.
And because we are speaking, yes, we are speaking of the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate.
Yes, that was formed by Elisabetta Patrizzi somewhere in the early 80s, I think. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
From my research, it was August 14th, 1983.
And that sounds about right, sir. Good research. Yeah, that's it. She was the one. I mean, I met her so many times, but if you use the terminology, cause as the story unfolds, you'll see why, but like, I've known, and I still do know, some very lovely priests and nuns and all these, they're lovely people. It's nothing about that, but it's like this specific thing, organization, this religious order was actually a cult. So that's the kicker, yeah.
Yeah. Can you?
I didn't know that. I did not know that until after 20 some years. I had no idea about it until it was forced upon me.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your sister Teresa and your relationship with her growing up before she was involved with the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate?
Yeah. Well, she's 10 years older than me, right? So there's this massive age gap. And so she was always. So, you know, I'm 5, she's 15. You know, I'm 7, she's 17. I'm 10, she's in the middle of college, right? So it was a very odd relationship because it was so distant. She was always odd. She always could go between hot and cold, between nice and just hellish. Like, it was very, it was always was that way. But in these situations, such things are not, you know, people, we love myths because myths are linear. The bad guy is always the bad guy. The evil witch is always evil witch. You know, only now maybe, is there an evil witch? Or do you get the story of Wicked where the evil witch was one time good? Stuff like that. And the same thing with my sister is like, you know, there were moments where it was cool. She did love to buy, you know, she was a shopper. So when I was my friend, one of my friends and I, she'd take us to a mall on Saturdays and we'd go to the arcade, like blow money there and she'd go shopping. So there were moments that were okay, but she was an ungodly terror to my other, my middle sister. I mean, they would have fights that were just, I mean, you know, the middle sister one time said, okay, you don't know what she did to me. I was like, you don't know what, you know, what, you know, how, you know, what happened between me and her. And I kind of went, excuse me. I was the guy. Do you remember the house at all? Do you remember where you lived? do you not remember the architectural plan of the building? You do know that, like, the bathroom where they'd be screaming at each other, pounding on the door until, like, all hours was right next to my room. So I was like an insomniac as a kid. Like, why were Michael's grades so weird? I don't know. But the idea was, there was this strangeness about her. There was lost this very, yeah, but I didn't know as a kid. I don't know, you know? So that's the whole thing. It was like she was distant and whatever. And then, which is why around 89. Somewhere to 89, she wound up, she was single. She never really dated. She did went on a couple of dates. We'll get to that later, but never really anything. And she was a teacher. She's a special ed teacher and very exceptionally good. And she's an exceptionally good teacher, by all accounts, bar none. So with the kids, she was great, right? So 88, 89, I mean, I'm 20. I'm out of my skull. I mean, I'm no drugs, no alcohol, but I'm like in my own world. I'm like, it's 1988. I'm a guitar player. I'm at Rutgers. I don't care about any. I want my own life. But I was living at home, so she wound up getting plucked by Patrizzi, right? Somehow through just bad timing, Patrizzi found her, and then that's when this began to unspool.
So. Whenever Patrizzi first finds mm-hmm. her, are you and your family of the mindset of like, oh, she's finding her faith and religion, she's going to become a nun?
Yeah.
Or is
yeah.
is it instantly she's in a cult?
Oh no. It was let me roll it back. It'll give a better understanding of all this. I was raised in a very conservative Catholic household, like super, super strict. But nothing bad against science. You know, my dad was a dentist, and so the idea of knowledge and science and everything, all of that was, you know, totally above board. It wasn't this weird type, you know what I mean? So stuff like that was great. So, but it was very kind of very orthodox and very whatever. So you grew up around that, right? So the idea of Teresa becoming a nun wasn't uncalled for, but it was, this is where it gets odd. Again, only in retrospect. I was dating a very lovely person at the time. She's my childhood girlfriend. I still know her. She's probably the most amazing person ever. But so she joined this order, but it was a very odd thing because it didn't seem to jive with everything I've known about how you join a religious order. It was just weird. And she had another woman, because you know, she's in her 20s, right? So she's 20, she's in her later 20s, right? So this is not someone, you know, super young doing this. This is someone who's been in the world, had a job, had apartments, done the whole nine. So this thing rolls around and it's kind of weird. And my girlfriend and I are like, we're both a little like, you know. So then Patrizzi comes to my parents' house, right? Because I'm still living there because I'm in college. I was in college and I was going to Rutgers. So it was like, you know, 15 minutes away. And we met this woman. We met Elisabetta Patrizzi and wow. I would guess it would be as if you met Charles Manson, but everybody gets the wrong. It was like meeting the devil, but everybody gets the wrong impression when you say that because people go, oh, you met the devil. Yeah, but that's not how the game works. The game isn't like kind of like, you're like a Slayer cover coming to life. It's not that. You wish it was that easy. in the Bible and almost everything else, it's a con man. She was the ultimate con man. I mean, you've been in the music business, so have I. We know con men. We were around them all the time, and I've met a bunch, and she was beyond the pale, the best con man I've ever known. She could con you into anything if you weren't careful. She tried to get my girlfriend into the order, right? And my girlfriend was way too fast and smart for that. She's like, it was weird. We were both kind of tripped out. But I was young, and I was like, I just want out of this. I don't want anything to do with, you know, I have my own life. I'm a musician. Y'all hate me being a musician. So it wasn't a linear process that you think, like, where my sister said, well, okay, I want to be a nun. I've decided to it. And it's like, okay, great. Then you go to a place and you become a postulant or whatever. And it's a real linear process. This was wacky. This was just wacky. And just wrong. But again, I'm cruising on at my own speed of life and just kind of this is in my rear view. Something was wrong. So I think in 90... I think it was 89. I don't think it was 90. I think in 89, she took her final vows or some vows in a church in Sayreville. I think it was St. Stan. Teresa got her final vows. Now, it's weird because the SMMI, Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate, they didn't have any bases here in the U.S. They were Italy-based, Rome-based. So it turned out that hooking up with my sister and with the fact that my dad was a dentist and had some money, I mean, we didn't live overly grand by any stretch, but it was cool. But she hooked into a guy who was a doctor, my dad, and then it spread out from there. So that was this weird linchpin, like why aren't you going where normally you'd go somewhere else to profess your vows, but they did it in Sayreville. My mother told me, like, on my birthday, a couple of years before she died, she told me the following. Because we were all kind of creeped out about this, and it just didn't seem right, but look, I'm just a long-haired musician with earrings, right? And snakeskin boots. Like, who are you going to believe? Me? Or the guy? Or a nun? Like, of course you're going to believe the nun. Who's like, how close to God could I be? I'm just a heavy metal guitar player.
There is a certain thing about, you know, the snakeskin boots. It is kind of unfair of who do you trust?
And, it's totally, and that's the thing, literally, and that's a common thread throughout the entire thing. This is like, who do you believe? Do you believe the person in a costume who may or may not be legit? Or do you mm-hmm. believe the guy who's not in a costume, who just dresses a little different but is not putting on an act? I mean, that was...
A lot right? of power comes from the habit and the collar.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, and yes. And I can't, you know, because I do have some really great people, and my uncle was a priest, you know, and so I have great respect for them. So, but idea is, what if you if you've turned that around? I mean, well, you're a teacher, right?
Yes,
we have, and so am I. We have power as a teacher, and we must respect that. Get what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's a thing where it's a lot of trust to whenever a parent walks into a building, the kid's scared because I teach drum lessons. I'm a stock trader during the day, teach drum lessons at night. But it's a lot of power whenever a guy walks through a door and then all of a sudden he sees 330-pound Scott Mort with a long beard. And, yeah, this is the guy that's going to be taking my kid into a room for half an hour? You know, there's a lot of power there.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
And right. But that's a thing where I will sit down with the parent. I will talk to the kid, ask them questions. And the parent is more than welcome to sit in with they want. Do you want me to leave the door open? That's fine.
Sure.
There is the power, but then there is the respect for the power. And right. Unfortunately, in my time, I have seen an abuse of that power as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. That's why I don't, you and I have had I know over at Music Tech, we've had life-altering teachers, and we've also had godforsakenly bad teachers. Mm-hmm. Right? We know the power that from our own experience. So the power of just wearing that religious garb that they had and they abused, you know, was astounding. But again, you add that to the con job, which it was crazy. So what happened was my mom told me a couple years ago, she said before she took her final vows or whatever, she had a bad feeling. Okay. And she's wrote a priest saying, look, there's this, my eldest daughter is involved in this, Sisters Mother Mary Mac, blah, 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 Patrizzi, blah, blah, blah. I got a bad feeling. Do you know anything?
Now, is this the first time that you're having an inkling that your sister's involved?
No, this is my mom wrote this. Like, my mom wrote this letter, right? So this is, she had a bad vibe about it, right? She had an idea of the con. But so she wrote a priest going, that's what you would normally do. Ask a professional in the business. Hey, do you know anybody? You know, so she wrote this priest and the priest wrote back, I've heard rumors. Do not let her join. But she did not follow that advice. Mm-hmm. And because that one decision literally was like napalm. It just destroyed so many lives, like for the next 30 years. It was crazy. It's 20 some years. It was crazy. That if she had just pulled the plug and said, you can't join, or if you join, we're not supporting you, which would have been rough. She would have saved, people wouldn't have been murdered, people wouldn't have, like, lives would have been saved, but she didn't do it. I didn't know this at the time. Yeah. I thought it was selling.
Whenever you found out, whenever you read that letter, how did you react to that?
Well, I never saw the letter, but when mom told me, I'll be honest with you, I was pissed. I was like, you knew from a professional before any of us did, and you let this happen. Like, it wasn't like I didn't know. I had no clue. I mean, again, here's a long-haired musician meeting a religious woman from Rome who blah, 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 whatever. It's like, what power do I have? What's my insight? But my mom wrote somebody she knew and asked, and they knew. So she knew what was up. So when I found out, I was angry. I was like, your decision. And I don't know whether how sorry she was or not. That sounds very cold of me, but it wasn't like I didn't see her rending her garments and sobbing. I mean, I think she just said, yeah, that's what I did. But I'm like, the damage that got done because that one, I was angry. I was livid. I was like, you could have stopped this right at the beginning and you didn't. So yeah, I was angry. Of course, I was livid for a long time. But, you know, what are you going to do? That's now at least the good part of that was like, now I know how it actually all unfolded.
Tune in again next week as Michael Kovacs unveils the harrowing saga of how the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate plunged relentlessly into the very heart of his family, weaving a web of intrigue that grew darker with each passing moment.